Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryans!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome to Dueling Tangents. It's a Thursday afternoon. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across the state of Wisconsin on a Civic Media radio station near you or on the Civic Media app, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's near west side for Mad Radio 92.7 FM, WMDX 1580 AM, and so many more terrific stations around the state of Wisconsin. Got Evan on the board on this gorgeous Thursday afternoon. E, how we doing, buddy?
It's beautiful out there, man. It's a nice day.
It is. I almost played hooky, man. I had an inclination to just say, you know what? Yesterday was an all right show. Let's replay that one.
And I wouldn't have blamed you. It would have been fine.
I thought about it, but we've got a ton of news to get to. We got Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area, joining us at 2:30. Tons of Wisconsin headlines that we're going to get in as well, and a new story over at ProPublica, where I want to lead off today. And so, couldn't play hooky on this Thursday afternoon because didn't want to leave all you folks here in the listening audience of Civic Media on hold for the day.
Even hanging, yeah.
Even though the weather is gorgeous, if you're enjoying the weather out on the deck, the UW Union, the terrace at UW Memorial Union opened yesterday. If you're out there listening,
lakes,
The lake.
Lakes.
If you're like our friend Pat Kreitlow, a host of Up North News, who's he gets to broadcast right from Lake Wasota.
And there are tons of lakes, so many.
And so, if you're enjoying the warm weather, we'd love to hear your story. Enjoying the warm weather, 844-967-2789. But I also have another question, and that is, when does the line blur between friend and benefactor? Because I feel like we're getting very, very close, folks. And I'm going to share a little bit more reporting from ProPublica, because last week this story broke with the lavish trips that Harlan Crow, the Dallas businessman, Republican mega donor, tends to take his friend, a friend of his, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas on. No big deal. What's a luxury yacht cruise among friends? Why are you paying so much attention to this? But this reporting we now are tugging on, and there's more than all the conservative pundits that came out and defended Harlan Crow throughout the weekend and early this week. Well, they also have ties to the organizations that Crow funds. So it's very interesting that the people defending Harlan Crow online, in newsprint, have a financial tie themselves to the individual. And Evan, we've got another breaking story over at ProPublica earlier today, roughly an hour ago. And I think we have passed the threshold now of friends, and we are fully in the column of benefactor. But I want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Evan, what do you think blurs the lines of a friend or a benefactor?
Quid pro quo, my good man.
Quid pro quo? So there has to be this for that? It can't just be this, and then you just... Is the that just the relationship in itself? Can that be the that? Or does there have to be a specific exchange? What do you think?
Well, the exchange can be implied, right?
Okay.
You know, so you give somebody something to do something that maybe benefits you in some axillary fashion, you know? Maybe you're not doing this individual a favor. Let's say a representative of some major industry really wishes something to be true. Who knows what? It could be anything.
And you think that the quid pro quo is what changes it from simply friends to benefactors?
Well, and if this individual were to just hypothetically pay a Supreme Court justice, I don't know, like $500,000 to do something in furtherance of this thing, the individual would like to happen.
And see,
that's
ethics,
yeah.
Ethics laws in the United States don't even need that. It's just the implication of impropriety. Just the belief that there could be impropriety, at least that is what the ethics rules are supposed to prevent.
And it's confident, institutional confidence.
Yeah. It's having faith in our institutions. And interestingly enough, I think that line was crossed. I don't know if the pro quo was there, but the quid was definitely there. According to ProPublica reporting, Evan, there has been a real estate transaction that went undisclosed and money exchanged between Harlan Crow, the Dallas businessman, and U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas in 2014. Reading from the piece, the headline, "Billionaire Harlan Crow bought property from Clarence Thomas. The justice didn't disclose the deal." In 2014, one of Texas billionaire Harlan Crow's companies purchased a string of properties on a quiet residential street in Savannah, Georgia. It wasn't a marquee acquisition for the real estate magnate, just an old single-story home and two vacant lots down the road. What made it noteworthy were the people on the other side of the deal, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his relatives. The transaction marks the first known instance of money flowing from the Republican megadonor to the Supreme Court justice. The Crow Company bought the property for $133,363 from three co-owners, Thomas, his mother, and the family of Thomas's late brother, according to a state tax document and a deed dated October 15th, 2014, filed at the Chapman County Courthouse. Now, is this the quid? This is the this, right? The this for that is what quid pro quo is Latin for. And it very much feels, Evan, like this is a way bigger deal, not disclosing, than the luxury trips. This was a financial transaction, yes, made between this Republican mega donor, this Dallas businessman. I have to believe that this is crossing the threshold from friends to benefactor.
I have some more Latin for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I do. Quae bono, my friend. Quae bono.
And that bono is money?
To whom is it a benefit?
Oh, to whom it is. See, I didn't take a Latin class.
Oh, neither did I.
Well, you know more than I, at least. What do you think? 844-967-2789. Is this simply a real estate deal among friends? Or is this moving the relationship from businessman Harlan Crow to U.S. Supreme Court justice, one of nine justices on the country's highest court, Clarence Thomas? Does this officially move the relationship that started after Thomas was appointed to the Supreme Court, by the way? This is not their lifelong friends. They've been friends for some time because he's been on the court for more than three decades now. But this is a relationship that began after he received the lifetime appointment to the nation's highest legal body. And now we have, according to ProPublica, reports of tax filings and real estate transactions that happened between the two that were not disclosed on Clarence Thomas's financial disclosure forms for the year 2014 when this transaction was made. And so, interestingly enough, this reporting, again, terrific long-form journalism done over at ProPublica. If you have a chance to read the piece, I highly recommend it, because it goes through and discusses the house of Clarence Thomas's mother and two vacant properties that were purchased for seemingly above market value prices as well. Other real estate transactions made that Harlan Crow has essentially redeveloped this entire block in Savannah, Georgia. He owns the house of Clarence Thomas's mother. She still reportedly lives there, according to the journalists at ProPublica. And so the Supreme Court Justice's mother lives in a house owned by Harlan Crow. Harlan Crowe is developing this entire area through other real estate holdings and selling off these properties to be developed by other entities, and paid roughly more than triple the market value if you look at similar real estate transactions that Crowe made on that street around the same time he purchased the properties from Clarence Thomas, his mother, and the family of his late brother. And so, is this, again, this is just a real estate transaction among friends? Is this passing the threshold? Is this an actual cash transaction between Harlan Crowe and the family and himself, U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas? 844-967-2789. What do you think? Is this just among friends? Is this a step too far? Want to hear your thoughts here on Dueling Tangents. 844-967-2789. And Evan, it just seems very, very out of bounds to me. If this was something that we found out, say after last week's reporting of the lavish luxury trips not getting reported, if this report came out for the failure for a Supreme Court justice, say of the other ideological spectrum, do you believe that everybody in the conservative media would be wiping this under the rug, shrugging this off as it's just among friends? If the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg had this pop up,
their heads would explode. I mean, it would be awful.
Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, would be in the House chamber screaming, decrying impeachment calls. But the U.S. Senate can barely muster, the democratically controlled U.S. Senate can barely muster the strength to call for an ethics investigation. I feel like there is much more that needs to be done. We're going to continue this conversation and get to some Wisconsin headlines coming up. 844-967-2789 is the number to share your tangents at. You can give us a call out all hour long. Going to be joined as well at 2:30 by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. Head over to the App Store, download that app. You can take us with you on the go on this gorgeous day here, a Thursday in Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
Business ethics.
For my own personal benefit.
Qui bono.
It's no big deal.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with us on this Thursday afternoon, 844-967-2789, asking the question, when is the line blurred between friends and benefactors? If it's not luxury yacht cruises and flying around the world in a private jet, is it real estate transactions well above seemingly market value? According to reporting over at ProPublica, Dallas businessman Harlan Crowe purchasing real estate in Savannah, Georgia, and still owns to this day the home in which Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas's mother lives. Harlan Crowe's excuse or justification is always he wants to preserve the property for a future museum. Very interestingly enough, the same response he gave for why there's so much Nazi memorabilia in his Dallas mansion. Well, it's like a museum to commemorate things. Looking at the history, it's for historical purposes. But failing to respond to the reporting on why Clarence Thomas did not report it, the Supreme Court justice not responding to the ProPublica reporting, Harlan Crowe not sharing the financial documents to give the real estate appraisal for how the purchase price of $133,000 was settled on. And I think this truly blurs the line between friend and benefactor. If there was a financial transaction between a Democratic donor and a liberal member of the U.S. Supreme Court,
even the slightest inkling of impropriety.
Even the hint that there could have been a potential transaction like that, we would see Benghazi-style hearings. It would be the only thing that we could hear of. And yet, a lot of individuals shrugging this off as, oh, what are private yacht trips among friends? What are real estate transactions well above market value among friends? Want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Wisconsin remains in a red alert for the chance for wildfires, with almost two dozen wildfires burning across the state. With the above average temperatures here in Wisconsin, there is a burn notice. Please do not burn anything here in the state of Wisconsin. Today, with the high winds and dry heat, it is very important not to be burning anything. The Evers administration putting out that burn notice. And also the Department of Natural Resources under the Evers administration requesting on Wednesday through a board approval of a resolution asking legislators for more money to manage wildlife habitat and maintain amenities on public lands. It goes into the request for the upcoming budget, and it is just one more indication that we need to be able to fund these departments to be able to manage things, including the wildfires and the public lands that we have here in Wisconsin. Very important to fund, and so hopefully we will be able to do that. These wildfires, the flood notices as well along many of the rivers in central Wisconsin, the Wausau area, Wisconsin River, flood notices there as well due to the snow melt, the accelerated snow melt due to this heat as well. Again, all ramifications of the changing climate here in Wisconsin, and unfortunately, in my opinion, hints of what's to come for future springs. We've also got a new story over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sharing the headline, Waukesha teacher who said school banned Rainbow Land has been put on leave. Dozens of residents addressed school board on the issue. So the teacher that brought to the attention what got Wisconsin in the national press a few weeks ago, getting all the way up to the late night shows and more, a Waukesha teacher brought it to the attention that Rainbow Land, a song by Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton, was removed from an elementary school performance. She has now been placed on leave, according to this reporting over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Melissa Temple, the Waukesha teacher who said the school district's administration banned students from performing the song Rainbow Land, has been placed on administrative leave. And apparently it is a personnel issue, so the Waukesha School Department, Waukesha School District, not commenting on personnel movements. But that story getting Wisconsin in the headlines, and it seems like there could have been some retaliation there against the teacher who brought it to light that the administration was not allowing students to sing Rainbow Land. So all those free speech individuals out there, Evan, very important to see the teacher being put on leave seemingly for that outcry.
Half this stuff is just, it's performative. I mean, I'm starting to believe that. You know, down in Tennessee, that rep was expelled.
Two reps were expelled. Yep.
That's right. And now they're back in.
They're back in because the common councils or the city councils for the areas that those representatives in Tennessee are from reinstated them back to the assembly down in Tennessee. So that is a good sign for democracy. But yes, the Republican tantrums, I guess, for lack of a better word, that we see around things like this. I believe the Missouri state government defunding libraries and the just general outcry against Bud Light because of a spokesperson. A lot of performative politics going on here. We're going to recombobulate with our friend Dan Schaefer coming up on the other side. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to keep up with us online, follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can also follow Civic Media there at Civic Media US, as well as on Facebook. Just search Civic Media. We got Dan Schaefer. We're going to recombobulate coming up next.
Is that what I think it is?
It is what it is.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're doing here as a growing radio network, head over to the website, civicmedia.us. And if you haven't told your friends about us yet, what are you doing? What are you waiting for? Tell your friends that Civic Media is growing local hometown radio stations, and there may be some coming to your neck of the woods around the state. We got Lake Eyre up in Amory, the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW in Green Bay, and so many more terrific stations. Civicmedia.us is the website. You can learn more. And on this Thursday afternoon, I am joined now by Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area, 10-time award-winning columnist at the Recombobulation Area. Dan, how are we doing on this Thursday afternoon?
I'm enjoying this weather. I'm having a good day.
Yeah, I was looking forward to taking care of some more yard work, and I wanted to be able, we had a tree taken down in the backyard, there are sticks everywhere, and last week and the week before, I was burning them all. Like, I was trying to clear out as much as I could, and now I can't do that because we've got wildfires happening here in Wisconsin with the high winds and the dry weather without any of the moisture, so I'm going to have to put the yard work on hold, but that just means more NBA viewing, and we'll get to that in a little bit later with the Bucks coming up this weekend, start their playoff run on Sunday. But last week, we had a spring election, and then you took off for a little trip away to reset after the big election. So this is our first chance to recombobulate now that you're back. And what are your takeaways from last time we spoke? It was election day. Wisconsinites were going to the polls. We got the outcome now. Supreme Court will have Janet Protasiewicz for a 10-year term beginning August 1st. And plenty of other statewide results that we'll dive into as well. But just kind of your reactions from last Tuesday, Dan.
Yeah, I think some of the main takeaways is just that the Protasiewicz victory was a landslide, and it was a huge blowout victory. I mean, this is a state where we have elections decided by decimal points, and Dan Kelly now has the distinction of losing multiple double digit election losses in a state where elections are often decided by like 1 or 2%. So it's a really thunderous rejection of Dan Kelly, of the conservative establishment that lined up behind him in Wisconsin. In many ways, it feels like the series finale of the Walker era in Wisconsin. I feel like flipping the court after 15 years of a conservative majority that in so many ways backed up the efforts of the Republican-controlled legislature and of Walker when he was governor. It just really feels like the ground has shifted in the state of Wisconsin following this election. And come August, it is, I kept saying over the course of the campaign and in the run up to this, you cannot overstate the importance of this race. This is huge. This is such a big deal. Well, it happened. They were, the liberals flipped the court. It's going to be a 4-3 liberal majority come August. And this is just a seismic moment for Wisconsin politics and a reset that we so desperately need because the system is broken. I think anyone will tell you who follows Wisconsin politics, especially after the last 4 years of divided government, has seen how broken the system is. And hopefully you know, whether it's redistricting challenges, whether it's ruling on the outdated and unclear 1849 abortion law, and whether it's so many things that the court has ruled on over the years that has been curious, to say the least. You know, hopefully this provides a real opportunity for a reset through the courts and you know, just providing those checks and balances that have really not been there, especially when it comes to, well, Robin Voss and the Wisconsin State Legislature.
Yeah, I think the true series finale of the Walker years, maybe when the maps, if the maps are gone one day, once those are gone, that's what I think will be the final last episode of the Walker era.
That'll be the start of the new series. Okay. That'll be the season premiere.
Gotcha. All right. I like that comparison.
New era in Wisconsin politics under new maps, under fair maps, where Republicans will actually have to compete for votes. What a world that'll be.
I like the sound of that. The series premiere of the new series. Right. There we go. This is Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area, joining me, Luke Mathers, on Dueling Tangents. And Dan, one of the other takeaways from last Tuesday, outside of the Protasiewicz victory, very much like the Evers reelection of 3.5 points was considered a Wisconsin landslide. Protasiewicz's victory is essentially just a landslide. Like, I don't know. It's just an avalanche, essentially, for the difference there. I'm curious to know if Dan Kelly's going to at least encourage Leah Vukmir to run again against Tammy Baldwin, just to see if he could be not the only double digit defeat that would be double in 2024. But that's a tangent for another day. One of the other takeaways from the Protasiewicz victory, the 8th Senate District, which had a special election to determine who would be filling the vacant seat left by State Senator Alberta Darling retiring at the end of last year for that Milwaukee suburb seat that was pretty heavily affected in the last go around of the map making that occurred. And I saw a piece over at the Recombobulation Area talking about how it may have been these new maps that actually determined that outcome. Dan, what can you share with us a little bit more about the gerrymandering that occurred there?
Yeah, so I think the immediate conversation following that result from last Tuesday night was about, you know, Republican Dan Knodel's victory, a very narrow victory. I think it was ended up being a lot closer than a lot of people projected. Again, this is a seat that has been in Republican control for 30 years. So certainly, you know, the Democrat was the underdog. Democrat Jody Habersinekan was the underdog. She came very close, within, you know, less than 1,300 votes. So it was a really, really close race. And if you look at the way that this district changed in the last round of redistricting, it became, you know, as many suburban Milwaukee districts did, they moved the goalposts a little bit to Republicans move the goalposts a little bit with these maps to give themselves an advantage in places that they were starting to lose support in. So that, you know, as has been such a defining narrative over the past few election cycles, the Wow County is not voting. Still voting majority Republican, just not as lopsided as they once did. And this district in particular includes pieces of Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Waukesha, and Washington counties. It's a big, weird, sprawling, super gerrymandered Senate district. And when they redrew the lines for this, it became, you know, based on a formula developed by my friend John Johnson at Marquette University, it became a seat that went from a 7.5% Republican advantage to a 12.5% Republican advantage seat. Wow. Again, this is a shifting support here. So, you know, maybe and both Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson got less than 50%, 55% in this district, though they still won the majority there. But you know, the district did change significantly. And one of the ways that it changed was it traded a number of Milwaukee County seats or Milwaukee County wards for Washington County. Some other things shifted around of its piece in Waukesha County. But the kind of the way that things went in and out was that a number of Milwaukee County districts became parts of other reliably Democratic state Senate districts. And one of those key communities there was the city of Glendale. And now the city of Glendale, you may know, is home to Bayshore Mall, right?
I know the area well. My mother grew up in Glendale. My grandmother and grandfather lived there for many, many years. And so the fact that that area was then flipped over between these, it seems very strange that the specific areas where this redistricting occurred. Again, the areas where this flipped is where the cracks in the armor were for these, right, the Republican drawn maps from 2011. And so it's important to note as well that this area was where assembly districts were flipping. There were three assembly districts throughout 2018 and 2020 that flipped from red to blue, the only assembly areas that moved. And these suburban areas were the same kind of aspect. And so flipping them from the gerrymandered previously the eight going to, I don't recall what is the adjacent district there. Dan, I don't know if you know.
The fourth district, currently represented by Lena Taylor, is where Glendale got moved into. And so I think this is especially significant because of the margin that Glendale put up for Jana Protasiewicz. Like, this is a suburb that has been reliably Democratic, mm-hmm, for some time now, but not nearly to the margin that it is now seeing. So, like, 10 years ago, this was a city that went 60% for Tammy Baldwin, and 60% for, I guess it would have been Tom Barrett, for governor then, in 2012. But last year it went 74% for Tony Evers and 73% for Mandela Barnes. And in the race for Wisconsin Supreme Court last week, more than 77%, wow, 77% of votes in Glendale went for Janet Protasiewicz. So what I'm suggesting in my column today is that because of that, and that district not being part of that city not being part of the 8th district anymore, is that maybe the gerrymandering certainly influenced the outcome of this election. Because if you have this under old maps, when parts of Glendale were in the district, that could have changed. Could have seen a different outcome.
Yeah.
So I think, regardless of whether maps are changed for 2024, this was a special election, so it's not a full term. So the whoever will be running in 2024 will be seeking a full term. So I think this district is going to be competitive regardless. It was competitive now, but if we do see a change in the maps, like we're hoping to see, from the challenge that is going to be inevitably coming before the Wisconsin Supreme Court, that this that could really change things. And so I think, Dan Knodel, the senator elect here, certainly benefited a great deal from the gerrymandering in this district to give himself that victory.
Yeah, it seems like it was a less than 2-point margin, and the outcome with these wards flipping from district to district could have been all the determination. Dan, if listeners want to learn more about your column, and I believe you got a sale or a special coming up as well over at the Recombobulation area, how can listeners learn more about the work that you are putting out there?
Yeah, you mentioned our sale. We have, tomorrow's Milwaukee Day.
Yes, it is.
414 for the 414. So we are having a sale at the Recombobulation area, our proud home city here, where the Recombobulation area bases its operations. So we're having a sale for 41.4% off.
There you go. 414,
our biggest sale of the year. And so you can get a full year subscription to support the work that we do at the Recombobulation area for less than $30, which is pretty good. A pretty good way to support our award-winning journalism, and the more subscribers that we get, the more impact that we can make on the media landscape in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and you could have done a very stingy sale. It could have just been 4.14% off, but you were going the other direction. 41.4% off the annual subscription to the Recombobulation area. That is a heck of a deal, folks.
Yep. So less than $30 for the full year. Less than $3 a month.
There you go. So, and if they want to learn more about where they can sign up for that subscription, Dan, where can they go?
You can find me at the Recombobulation area on Substack. I've been trying to share the links out on Twitter, but Twitter and Substack are not not friends right now. So it's even more reason to make sure that you subscribe to get my words in your inbox. just in case you don't see them on Twitter, that may be the way that you once did.
Yeah.
That's fun.
We no longer can trust that platform to be able to share all that information like it once did. So, yes, check out Dan on Substack, the Recombobulation Area. And we've got some more Wisconsin headlines we're going to share, as well as the Milwaukee Bucks postseason and race is coming up. Starting on Sunday, going to get into a little bit about the play-in tournament and more. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to share a tangent with us on this Thursday afternoon, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Dueling Tangents. We got one more segment left in the day. Dueling Tangents, we'll be right back. Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. We are joined on this Thursday afternoon by Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area. Got Evan on the board. You can join us on the phone lines. Call or text 844-967-2789. Dan, I saw, got the chance to listen to your appearance yesterday on As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Pride, Jane Matinere, and their Wednesday co-host, Greg Bach. And yesterday's breaking news was the announcement that Tammy Baldwin is officially running for re-election in 2024. You somehow timed it perfect. The very brief 8-day window that we had in between election cycles here in Wisconsin, you took the best advantage of, and you got away on vacation, and now, boom, 2024 is off and running here. What are your thoughts on Tammy Baldwin announcing yesterday? She's running for a third term.
Well, I'm excited she's running again. She's a terrific senator. She has been, you know, I think in her second term, she has really stepped up and taken a leadership role in the Senate, in the Democratic run Senate under Chuck, as part of Chuck Schumer's leadership team. She championed codifying same-sex marriage rights. She helped advance the 988 suicide prevention hotline. She really gets into the weeds on a lot of issues. You know, she's been active on a whole bunch of different implementation things, the bipartisan infrastructure law and Inflation Reduction Act and all sorts of different appropriations. I think that's why she's such a successful candidate in the state of Wisconsin and why she has such statewide appeal in Wisconsin, was able to, like you had alluded to before, you know, won that double digit victory over Leah Vukmir in 2018. I think she's, no matter the candidate that she runs against, I think she's going to be going into 2024 as the favorite. I think she's a really strong candidate, and I don't think the Republican bench is what it once was. And so they are, you know, going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel to try to find a candidate if Mike Gallagher doesn't run. And I don't know if I don't get the sense that he is going to. I think if we're going to talk about some of those potential Republican challengers, like it's the list gets ugly pretty quick.
It's strange the effect that gerrymandering has. It creates very safe districts for individuals, but not very strong statewide candidates then. Excellent reporting.
They don't know how to compete for votes because they never have to compete for votes.
Exactly. And as the Recombobulation Area has pointed out, Republicans haven't fared well in statewide races, winning 3 of the 18 since the state was won by former President Donald Trump in 2016. So very not great track record in recent years for them. So it'll be interesting to see as that primary field begins to widen and we start to get some of those contestants jumping in. We'll be able to talk about that here on Dueling Tangents, and I'm sure the Recombobulation Area will be covering it closely as well. One of the other things that I always love, really, I think the first reason how I found you online, Dan, your takes on the Milwaukee Bucks, the 2021 NBA champions, taking another run at the playoffs, kicking off on Sunday. They'll be hosting the winner of the play-in tournament for the last game of the play-in tournament between the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls. You got any guesses of who's going to be making the trip to Milwaukee of those two teams come Sunday?
Yeah, I don't know. It might depend on if DeMar DeRozan's daughter shows up in Miami courtside to give their players a hard time at the free throw line the way she did last night in Toronto. That was pretty remarkable. I don't know if you had a chance to see that, but she was shrieking during the Raptors' free throws, and the Raptors shot just 50% at the free throw line yesterday. So
I saw a brief clip. Remarkable. Yeah, I saw a brief clip, and it was very comical. I got a good chuckle out of it. And I think it'll be Miami, interestingly noted, the first 7 seed to lose in the 7-8 play-in game. So previously, the 7 seeds have always became the 7 seeds by winning that first play-in tournament. So I think it's interesting. I don't know if Miami is going to lose back-to-back home games and get knocked out of the playoffs. The Bulls, if they can use that strategy and throw off the free throw game for the Heat, it may be an interesting outcome tomorrow night down there in Southeast.
Well, and it's a battle of the last two first round opponents that the Bucks have faced in the playoffs. You know, they faced the Heat in a sweep in the first round in 2021, and then last year they got the gentleman's sweep against Chicago after losing that game 2 with Middleton getting injured. So the 5-game they got serious for those last 3 games of that series against the Bulls. I don't even think it was even within like a 20-point margin in any of those games. It was just blowout after blowout once the Bucks buckled down. So I think the first round the Bucks should probably similarly cruise against either of those teams. I don't think, you know, I think the Bulls have a nice bit of momentum right now with the way that they've been, you know, kind of fighting to be back in the play-in, and Miami doesn't really look all that strong at the moment after dropping that one at home to Atlanta. But I'm just excited for Bucks playoff basketball to be back. We've got Bucks playoff basketball. We got the Deer District coming back. We've got, you know, and come this Sunday, it's gonna be intense, crazy times for all those of us who are Bucks fans. And
it's getting exciting.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I can't wait.
It's a very fun time of the year. I'm thrilled. We got Brewers baseball back as well. The Bucks postseason run, and I'm hopeful that they can stay as healthy. Last year, that was the problem with that first series, was losing Middleton in that series against the Bulls. I think did drastically alter their playoff run yesterday. So I'm hoping, but I'm hoping that they can stay healthy this year and go all the way and bring another title to Milwaukee, because it was a lot of fun. I didn't get to go to the parade, but I heard great things, and I want to go to a parade. So I want this to happen. Yeah, I want a parade in Milwaukee come this summer. And so I'm hoping that the Bucks are going to be able to get it done. One more time before we wrap up for the day, how can listeners learn more about the Milwaukee Day Sale that the Recombobulation area is putting on tomorrow over at Substack?
Yeah, you can find it. Find all the details over at recombobulationarea.substack.com. I'm posting on notes now, which is apparently a thing on Substack. Go check it out. Also been getting a little bit more active on Instagram. So Recombobulation Area on Instagram. Check us out there. But yeah, I'm going to be blasting the link out everywhere tomorrow. So if you follow me on anywhere, hopefully all of my friends at Civic Media will also be sharing that link to subscribe to the Recombobulation Area for our best sale of the year for a full year subscription.
There
so
we
do
go.
Check it out.
414 Day, Dan Schaefer, columnist of the Recombobulation Area. Thank you so much for joining me on this Thursday afternoon, Dan. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Bucks and Six.
Bucks and Six. It starts on Sunday. I'm so excited. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. You can go to civicmedia.us. Click on the show tab to Dueling Tangents. You can see today's edition as well as every other day's edition nicely turned into a podcast format. And tomorrow, on a Friday, we're going to talk about the most Wisconsin headline of the week and some of the outcomes of the first few hearings held by the Joint Finance Committee and those listening sessions, how they went. So we're going to get into those as well as the most Wisconsin headline of the week. If you've got submissions, send them to us over on Twitter @DuelingTangents. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to y'all then.